All right, everybody, it's time for the Real BS Show. Time to wake up. We're going to teach you all about gambling and how to do it. We got a real simple system. Here we go.
Well, I ain't sure, baby. I ain't sure, baby.
Pretty exciting. Woke me up.
Yeah.
Wake you up.
Yeah, a little bit of codeine.
This is the Bill and Seth, the BS show.
The BS show, yeah. You just gave the hint who we are, you know, as in the actual who stands for the B and who stands for the S.
Well, the B is for bull and the S is for Seth. Seth's full of bull.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of those another installments of, BS we're going to give today.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, what was it? Oh, gambling.
Yeah, gambling.
I was screwing around with this. You've heard of Robin Hood, right?
Yeah.
I've been, for a long time, been watching stocks and never really knew much about it, So this Robin Hood thing was free, You could buy and sell stocks and didn't cost you anything.
Right.
And it really was truly free. And 3 years ago or something, I said, $50, what the heck, And so I started messing around a little bit, bought some GE. I thought it was going to go up to 30 and stayed at 12 for 2 years. So I kind of give it up. But then along come the stimulus checks.
Right.
And I think I got one in December or January, I'm not sure, someplace in there. It was $600. And I said, what the heck am I going to do with this? So I said, I ought to give this another shot. I'd give Robin Hood another go-around just to see. Maybe I'll learn something,
Right.
And because I ask people about stocks and stuff, and most folks don't know anything about it
right.
And my son, though, he's been studying this stock market stuff, and he's so far into it, I didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
So I wasn't learning anything. So I just took that $600 and I deposited it into a Robin Hood account. And I started playing around, you know. I said, hey, if I lose it, I lose it. Well,
right.
You can't lose, you know. Now that I've gotten to know what's, you know, I'm feeling it out and trying to figure it all out, you know. You can't lose your money. I mean, you can lose some of it, you know, but you're never going to lose it all. I mean, geez.
Right.
You invest in these companies that have been around forever, whatever, and some of these companies pay 7%.
Right.
I mean, AT&T, they pay you 7% a year. I mean, what bank's going to give you that? Nobody.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to do anything. So I got interested. Of course, I've been buying silver. I like silver. I've been buying those silver rounds since 2005, I think. And stacking?
Right.
Silver stacker or whatever, I don't know. And I cashed in a few because it did go up pretty high there for a while. And I cashed in a few and bought something. I don't know what. But, you know, and then it goes up and then it goes back down. And it goes, it's all around. But, you know, when I started in 2005, it was like $5 an ounce.
Right.
And now it's gone. It's like 2011, it was clear up to almost $50 an ounce. And then it's back down to 17 and, you know, all around. Well, right now it's about $28
right.
an ounce. But the problem is you can't buy it.
Right. There's no actual physical silver.
The physical silver is hard to get. And, you know, you got to befriend a local coin shop, you know, and just hope somebody comes in and cashes in some silver and you can buy it, you know. So, I mean, the spot price now used to be, you know, 50 cents or a dollar over spot, but now it's like $5, $6 over spot. So, because it's so scarce. And when I looked at the stock market, you know, I'm trying to figure out, well, how do stocks go up and down? Well, it's all supply and demand.
Right.
If somebody wants to sell and nobody's buying, the price goes down. And if somebody wants to buy and hardly anybody's selling, then the price goes up. It's just a supply and demand thing, you know. I don't know. I just, number one, Robinhood was free. It really was free, and they're really accurate. And they have all kinds of charts and, you know, all kinds of information about every company there is. I mean, it's really, truly amazing how much stuff they have in there. They've got a black eye here not too long ago when the parent company was shorting GameStop, I think it
was.
And, and they got caught with their pants down, you know. And
yeah, that
cost
that enraged,
them billions.
That enraged a few people.
Well, they tried to stop it, you know, through Robinhood, and it got a lot of folks upset with them.
A lot of people switched out. They
yeah,
moved
I bet
to
you
other,
they did.
What's the other one? There's other one out there they moved to.
I can't remember.
There's many different apps out there. This is an app that you can get on, like Android or even on a website. You can get on there and use Robinhood. And there's other programs or apps that do the same thing from other companies. And, you know, with the GameStop thing, the parent company was trying to short the stock of GameStop. And people saw that they were doing this, so they tried to buy as much stock to screw over.
Yeah, well,
they got
a lot of people, millions of people got together and said, okay, let's all just buy this stock.
Yeah, yeah, on Reddit.
Make it go up, you know, make it go up, up, up. And
hold.
And you know, but the problem is, you know, it's sooner or later, it's going to... When it goes up, it's got to come down.
Yeah,
So people start selling. The first one out is okay. You make a lot of money. You went from $5 up to $450 or something. And they got out. Well, the ones that get out first are the lucky ones. And the ones that hang in there, boom, it goes right back down. Maybe they bought it $200 a share or something, and it dropped so fast that it went down to $100 or $50, $70.
Right.
And they paid $200, and, you know, how do you get out then, you know?
Not easy.
You know, and just to sit tight with GameStop, I mean, it's going to take 40 years for it to get back up to that $400 mark or whatever.
Right.
Of course, I don't know. The way the dollar's going downhill, it might happen sooner. But
and that's the thing is with this is when you mention the dollar in inflation, this is a very important part. Is a lot of people's 401ks, their retirement plans, are in the stocks. So more the inflation happens, the more devalue their 401k becomes.
Yeah, well, inflation just makes inflation just means there's a lot more money going around, and they're inflating the currency, you know. So the currency ain't worth quite as much as it was.
Right.
And is that high enough?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, let me tell you the story how I got started here with. And, you know, a lot of people I talk to, they say, oh, geez, no, don't mess around. You know, that's awful, you know. Of course, when I was working, I had a 401k.
Right.
Where the company matched, I don't know, 5% or up to 5% of what I would take out, which was not taxed. It didn't get, you know, they took it out before they taxed it. So the company would match 5%, you know, up to 5%. Maybe it was 6%. But anyways, I just went whole hog, you know. I created a lot of money in a big hurry. I don't know, about 4 years or something, I had $70,000 in my 401k. And you kind of self-directed it. You'd say what you wanted, where you wanted it to go, whether it was Vanguard mutual funds or you know, some offshore, some foreign stocks, some small caps, you know, growth stocks or whatever, you know, just all kinds of different things. But you really don't know, you don't understand, you know, I was just doing it.
Right.
And it just rolled along, and it gained a little bit, this and that, and then, I don't know, at some point I just said, screw it, I just took all the money out. I bought a motorhome and went to California. Me and my daughter, we just took off.
Yeah.
I said, I'm tired of working. You know, the thing about working is this is what gets me. I mean, you work, you get paid by the hour or by the week or by the whatever month or every 2 weeks. It's, you know, but you gotta go to work.
Right. Period.
And these bubbleheads up in Washington, D.C. press a couple buttons and they create $4 trillion. And yeah. They've never worked a day in their life.
Yeah. And then that money just devalues everything else.
All the rest of us are out here killing ourselves, you know, working our whole lives, and these guys in a matter of seconds do something like that. And it just, now maybe there's something, I don't know, maybe there's something good in what they're doing. I don't know.
Well, some people would say there's good, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, they're not assuming the responsibility right away. That responsibility,
they're gambling too, I think.
They're
hoping that what they do is going to help somebody, but
it's appeasing the situation when the economics is the problem. You know, when you close small businesses and let large businesses operate, I think that's where the issue lays. You know,
well, that's a whole other subject.
But I think that's kind of tied to this, though, because if you think about it, you know, how many places are looking around and people aren't, you know, working, and they're all these for sales, you know, not for sale, but they want to, you know, bring in employees and they can't, right. So they're paying people. To come in,
well,
and
McDonald's
interview.
Down there, I saw it, they said that $500 if you sign up and go to work for
a
bonus. Well, right across the street was Taco Bell, and they had a big sign, $1,000 bonus.
Yeah.
So what in the world's going on?
But
there's got to be a catch or something.
But this goes back to the Red Robin Hood thing. You know, people are right now taking their stimulus money and playing it on Robin.
Well, if you got to stay home and you don't have anything else to do, it's fun.
Sure.
I got to tell you, it is fun. It really is.
Right.
Well, what's good about it, though, is that you should learn from it.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
I'm not just saying gamble, you know, just like at the casino. I mean, when I watch, I might have six or seven stocks that I play around with, you know, that I'm kind of confident about. And you sit there and you watch them, and they bob up, they go back down. They bob up, they go back. Well, every day is different. But, I mean, it feels like you're sitting in front of one of those gambling, you know, one of those one-armed bandits, and you're just hoping for the best.
One of the things I've always heard from anybody that does stock, and this is something that I think goes with anything that you would, quote-unquote, gamble on, is never put anything in that you're not able to lose. So if
any casino you go to, that's a good rule of thumb.
So it's the same thing with the stock market. You know, if you really shouldn't be putting in things that you kind of have to research the company a little bit, don't you?
Oh,
you have to
kind
of look at the history of the company.
Well, if you get serious about it, if you just want to fool around and gamble, well, then that's it. You know?
Right.
You could go to the casino, or you could save the gas money and just play around on Robinhood.
Right.
And just gamble. But if you get serious about it, and the thing about Robinhood is they don't charge for trading. You know, whether you buy or sell, whatever you do, there's no charge. And
more
that's
they
different.
Charge.
They don't charge anything.
So even when you get money deposited, they don't charge?
Nope. And they're, you know, it's kind of like YouTube or something, you know, there's advertising. But they do encourage you to borrow money. You know, they'll increase your limits or whatever, you know. It's not margins, but I guess it is kind of margin stuff. But they kind of talk to you. So, well, if you spend $1,000, we'll match it and you can go, you know, double up on your bets and stuff. If you win, fine. If you don't, well, then you're in trouble big time.
Right.
That's
right.
Where all the problems come from.
Right.
But, and there's a calculation that would be very clear to understand what margin calls do to people. I mean, just devastates. Can devastate a stock buyer. It's really tricky. But there's no need for that. I mean, my idea was take $50 and go play.
Right.
You know, and then I started thinking about it. And over the years, I started, you know, because of silver and gold, you know, I mean, you know, if you, my grandfather took $20, $20 bill, and went and bought a $20 gold piece.
Right.
You know, this was in early 1900s, someplace in there. A $20 gold piece, stuck the 20, then put $20 in a box with that $20 gold piece. And now today, you open that box up, and what do you got? You got 1 ounce of gold, and you got a $20 bill. Well, guess what? The $20 bill won't get you much, but that $20 gold piece is worth a couple thousand.
Right.
So it just makes sense that, you know, if you want to kind of safeguard what's going on, and maybe, I guess you call it a hedge against inflation or whatever, you just want something to bank on for later in your years or whatever, or just stay up with the crazy times. To me, silver and gold is a good deal.
Right.
You know, I mean, everybody's talking cryptocurrency now, and
yeah.
To me, that's a whole nother ball game, which that's, could or could
it's
not
a dangerous
be bad.
One.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I mean, it's very volatile.
It's crazy up and down. And, you know, the worst part about it is you know, I can understand the intentions of cryptocurrency as people want to.
Well, the blockchain is definitely coming.
It's a good way of staying anonymous. But the problem is no one's taking it serious as a currency. And number two, it's still a fiat currency, just like the dollar is. Essentially,
well,
whereas gold and silver,
you can wipe your butt with a dollar bill. You can't do that with Bitcoin.
But you lose your wallet, you're screwed. And with Bitcoin, because you got your wallet secured.
I always wondered what would happen if somebody
died. There's people
knows.
That have lost millions of dollars because they forgot their password to their wallet, and it's like holy cow.
Because I did play with Bitcoin back in 2005 or 2006, and
right.
I got into it big time. And it was going up and down like $300-$400 or something up. And I was getting Satoshis for free by just doing exercises with advertisements. And I did some mining, too. Well, that, you know, didn't get much from that either. But you just left your computer on and you became part of the blockchain.
Right.
So I might have had a half a Bitcoin or maybe a little more. All of a sudden, it went up to $7,000, which I'd never seen before. And I said, well, screw this, I'm out. I don't want to. So I cashed in, you know, thinking that it's going to go way back down like it was and bouncing up and down. And it did all through these years. But now, I mean, all of a sudden, the last couple of years, it's taken off, something awful.
And it really sucks. The one part that I have a problem with is right now it's affecting buying computers. If you're going to build a computer, you can't get a graphics card right now. Unless you spend a lot of money, like a $300 graphics card now costs like $3,000. And it's because everyone's trying to mine Bitcoins. And it's really annoying. It really is. And I hopefully, you know, for my opinion is, I look at it this way. I'm waiting for the crash to happen because it will. It's going up to a point where it's unstable and people will start panicking and then they'll sell.
Well, the thing about Bitcoin is it can drop $20,000 in instant 6 hours.
Yeah.
You know,
boom. Yeah. But when that happens and it's sustained,
that's scary.
A bunch of people are going to be selling their graphics cards. And that's when Mr. Seth here will be jumping in and buying one. Because my son wanted to build a computer recently. And, you know, we had to go look online and I got the parts and it was like $500 total, except for the graphics card. I haven't checked graphics cards in like 3 or 4 years. I go and check and I was like, holy crap, a 3-year-old model of a graphics card is going for $1,500. If you go buy it, you know, if you actually went back, you know, 3 years ago, it was selling for like $150.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's the thing about the stock market and about currency. I guess currency and money are two different things.
Right.
Currency is just what you use to, it's fake money, I guess.
Right.
And there's every country has their own currency and all this and that. So it's a big confusing mess. But the thing about Robinhood and everybody warning me, oh, no, don't do that. Don't. Well, what's $50, you know?
Mm, right.
I mean, $50? I mean, you can blow that at the casino in a matter of a half an hour.
Good entertainment for one night could be $50.
Yeah, well, the more I looked at it, the more I researched it, and I thought, well, geez, you know, this gold and silver stuff is real. I mean, it's so I thought, well, wait a minute, where does that stuff come from? Well, miners. You know, miners. And so I started watching the miners, and then I'm watching the spot price, which is really manipulated, too, by these big banks. But you'd watch that spot price, and if the spot price started to go up just a little bit, the miner stocks went up a lot. Huh. You know, like 10, 20 times what the, you know, if silver goes up 10 cents, well, their stocks are going to go up, you know, $2 or something, or $3.
Right.
And I started seeing that correlation. So then I started investigating these miners, and there's all kinds of different miners. Gold mining, some are gold and silver, some are gold, silver, and copper. There's uranium mines, there's, you know, just a lot of different. But you got your juniors, you got your middle-of-the-road ones, and then you got your big boys, you know.
Right.
And the juniors are where you can really make a killing, but it's a lot trickier. Because you got,
right,
for every 20 junior miners you got, you only get one that actually makes it, you know, and finds it. And then you got your experts that do the exploration and, you know, help set up and finance. And then when a junior miner hits it or has a really good outlook, then the big boys come along and buy them anyways.
Right.
Which is okay. I mean, that's
that's how business goes.
Yeah, well, and you know, you go along for the ride. So I started doing that, and I found, I don't know, maybe 6 different things. And now the other part of this whole thing was this climate change craziness that everybody's into. Well, Europe and the United States, and they're taking it real serious.
Right.
And the idea that silver is used in everything. I mean, it's one of the best conductors of electricity there is. And that's why it's in your phones, your computers, solar panels. You know, it's everywhere. It's all these electric cars and stuff. You know, you use copper, but silver's a much better conductor. And so I'm thinking, you know, geez. I'm looking around, and silver is not that plentiful. It's hard to find. And a lot of mines have gone out of business over the last 5, 6 years, you know, really a lot. And now all of a sudden, it's kind of all this green energy or green stuff is to me, that I said, uh-oh, something's going to give here. And sure enough, the silver is in very tight supply. And so I started watching the silver mines, the gold miners, and I got 2 of each, and then I got 2 of uranium, because uranium, with this Green New Deal, the only way they're going to get rid of coal is with nuclear power. And the only way they're going to get nuclear power is with uranium.
Right.
You know, so I come to find out there's no uranium mines in the United States. They've been all shut down.
Yeah.
So I found one that's all set up and ready to go, and looks like Biden and the boys are leaning pretty heavy. I think they know that they're not going to replace coal with sunshine.
You know? No.
And uranium.
And this is you know, both of us have solar, so we have to remember when we're talking about this, solar can't power everything because we don't have the battery solution. We don't have the storage solution solved.
No.
So nuclear would be the offset.
Well, you turn on electric heater or toaster, something that hogs a lot of power.
Sure.
You're going to need a lot of battery and a lot of solar panels to keep batteries up. And that gets crazy because you only use the toaster once a day.
Sure.
That. And my setup, I can do it. It's not a problem. But why mess around? You know, I don't need all that power. I just need the lights to come on and
right.
You know, TV and a phone and a computer and, you know, water pump and that kind of stuff. And I got all I could ever use, you know, and it's all free. You know, I mean, I $3,000 to get it all set up, but, you know, for the last 5 years, it's been free.
Right.
They wanted $7,000 just to run electric wire up to the house way back up in the woods there. I said, are you crazy? You know, that was nuts. And then I'd have to pay them every month $30 just to read the meter.
Right.
Whether I used any or not. So I did my own thing, and the best thing I ever did.
Sure. $7,000, that's crazy.
Yeah, just to run a wire and a few poles up to the fields there. It's crazy. But anyways, so this back to this Robin Hood thing, you know, everybody's warning me and saying, oh, geez, you know, you're going to, why is it so terrible? I mean, there's nothing to it. It doesn't cost anything. And they got all kinds of information, charts, you know, 1 week, 1 day, 3 months, you know, 1 year, 5 years. You can investigate any company that's on the exchange, you know. I mean, you can really learn a lot. And so I come up with about 6 or 7, maybe 8, that I really like. And then, and I made a few bucks, and then I lose a few bucks, you know, but it was always kind of treading water, you know, wasn't going very far. And then I come across this Keith Neumeyer, who is the CEO, the president, or the owner of First Majestic Silver. And he's saying, okay, here's what you do. You watch these things. You know how high they go, how low they go. You kind of get a feeling for it. He says, when it goes up, you sell.
Yeah,
but don't sell at all, just in case it keeps going up. But you sell 75% of what you own. Let the other 25% stay there in case it does go up. But if it goes down, you don't lose hardly anything. And then you know about where it's going to go down. You jump back in.
Right.
So I started doing that, watching, and it was just a matter of watching these companies, and you kind of know their range, you know. You know, Gold Royalty Corporation, I mean, you know, I think I bought in at $4.80, and it went up to $5.10, and I sold. Not everything, but, you know, 95% of it. Sure enough, it goes back down. And you wait, you know, a day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever it takes, and you see it go back down, and then you just jump back in.
Right.
You still got the money there, you know. It's. I do the same thing with First Majestic, same thing, and their range is anywhere from, say, it can go as low as 15, but it can go as high as 19, even 20. I mean, it went to 24 one time, but. And when that happens, you could find a $2 range there where you sell it at a certain, you know, $18.50, and then you know it might go a little higher, but you jumped out, and you sit there with your money and you wait for it to go back down. Well, sure enough, it goes back down, and I think that's what a lot of people are doing.
All
these day traders and these robots, I think you're playing against. You know, I think there's more computers playing the stock market than people.
I would say so. So the saying goes is sell on the news, buy on the
rumors.
Rumors, yeah.
Well, you know, you can go that way, but, you know, it's hard to find news anymore.
That's the problem. Yeah, I was going to
say. If you watch CNBC, you might as well. I mean, they just been all over this Bitcoin. They're just, like, advertising Bitcoin every day.
And that's when you need to know. That's when you get the heck out.
$15,000.
That's because everyone's trying to get out of it. Everyone, they're talking about it now. Normies are normal. Their words are normies, which means normal people. Normal people are talking about Bitcoin, so now it's time to get out. It's the same thing with GameStop. I almost said GME, but GameStop.
Well, that's the same thing.
It's the same name, but for the layperson, GameStop, you know, went from what, $3 or something like that,
$4,
up to like
$400, almost $500.
Yeah,
but that was just a bunch of kids having fun.
Oh, sure.
You know, and sure, I'm sure a lot of people lost quite a bit of money.
Oh yeah, quite a few people became millionaires though.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I watch this and I watch this and I watch this and then I watch. I see things like this Federal Reserve and this Janet Yellen. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever met her or seen her.
I never met her, but I've seen her.
Yeah, Grandma Yellen. Holy catfish. So I did a little research. Okay, she's got some badges, you know, PhDs and all this stuff. She's never worked a day in her life. She's never owned a business or run a business. And she probably never had sex in her life. So you put all those three things together, and she's running the Treasury Department.
Yep.
Now, how serious and how realistic can this be? You know, I mean, it's just the same way with Jerome Powell. I mean, the same thing, you know. I think he was a lawyer. But, I mean, those folks never, not an ounce of sweat on their forehead ever, unless they, you know, we're accidentally out in the sun for some reason.
Right.
I mean, how can these people have a realistic view or grip on what life's really like? For all these people that are out there hour by hour by hour trying to piece things together, you know, to pay the rent and feed their family. And it's just incredible. And so what started out is just kind of having fun and see what it's like. I mean, same thing as a casino. It really is. It's just the exact same thing. Only you got a little better shot with the stock market because you can do some research and you get a little bit better guessing. You got better guessing power, you know?
And the one thing I have to say is instead of with a casino being the house, they have it in a way rigged.
Oh, sure.
Okay. But with the stock market, it's not the companies that have it rigged, it's other people holding stock.
Right.
They're gonna try to sell before the curve of the drop. So they're trying to, you know, that's the one you have to compete against.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I think you're playing against robots. You know.
Sure.
I mean, all these algorithms. And all this
those
stuff.
Algorithms are getting pretty good.
These computers
actually
are reading the news. They're reading newspapers. Yep. Taking all this in and figuring out whether to buy or sell.
And it's done in milliseconds.
By thousands of shares, not 10 or 100 shares like I do.
And it's doing it by milliseconds. And honestly, we have to realize that used to be a full time job. People would do the stock. They'd be a stock broker. You know, they'd be handling. You know, there would be analysis, people doing analysis. A lot of that's now computerized and automated. Now it's where I come in.
Well, it's all on Robinhood. You pick a stock and you can do some research right there on Robinhood. You can see the volume every day.
Right.
You know, do they sell a million shares every day? Do they have a million transactions or a billion transactions? And some of them are in the billions. So, I mean, as far as losing every last penny you got, that ain't gonna happen. They might go down for a while. You sit tight, you wait, you know, unless you want to sell it. But I mean, if you don't want to sell it and take a loss, then you just sit tight and wait. You know, there's patience involved. And to me, with the mining stocks and I don't play silver and gold. They have these ETFs.
Yep.
Okay, electronic trading funds or something. But it's really the COMEX and all that, these people, it's all paper.
Right.
It's all silver contracts.
And you don't touch those?
No, not at all. The only silver that I have is what I can hold in my hand.
Right. Because that's fake silver, right, essentially.
If you can't hold it, you don't own it, really.
Yeah, you're talking about the silver stocks that are in paper only and not actual
physical.
Well, the
silver stocks are mining stocks
for me. Oh, for you, yes, yeah. But for other people, there's like, you said COMEX, right?
Yeah,
you
know? there's silver trades, but it's, like you said, it's all paper. It's all paper. So if you buy a contract and when it expires, let's say in the futures market or whatever, expires, you want to take delivery, you can't do it anymore because they don't have it.
Right.
In other words, J.P. Morgan, they might have 1 ounce of silver in their vault, but they've sold it 500 times. Right. They sold it to 500 different people. So, and they just got caught. I think it was last year, and they paid $960 million fine, which was nothing.
Nothing. It was a drop in a dime.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking lots and lots of shares.
And this is the same people that are affecting, people think, oh, they're not that big, but they are big. Oh, they're affecting policy.
They're running the country.
Yeah. I mean, when we have to remember, when bills are put forward in front of Congress, okay, that it's usually not the congressmen or congresswomen, either one of them, writing the bill themselves. Oh. Sometimes it's an intern, but most of the time, it's actually these companies and lobbyists that are actually in position. And this is where the J.P. Morgan and stuff come into play. They were able to write a lot of laws themselves. I mean, there's other companies that are doing this too. But what was the one the one that paid Hillary Clinton money to give a speech? It was like
That was a uranium company over in, not Russia, but Kazakhstan or
something. Yeah, but the one I'm talking about in America, that was the one stock company. I'm drawing a blank on it.
The only ones I could think of was like Enron and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well,
they should have made Bernie Madoff in charge of the Treasury.
Right.
Because he knows how to run a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he knew how to do it.
And, but the thing is going back to this with the stocks and stuff, you know, these people aren't going to get caught doing it. That's the problem. So it's ones you're saying to avoid, like the ones that have only paper, nothing physical. Where the mining companies actually are physically handling it, and that's where the real money is.
You got records, and you can, and that's so crucial to me, anyways. When it comes to stocks, is to find out who's running the show, who's in charge, and I've done that with the. I mean, there's Eric Sprott. I mean, anything he touches, and as a forewarning to everybody, that Sprott is going to take over the uranium market. They have got it set up legally, and they're gonna dominate the uranium market worldwide, and it's going to go from what it is now, $31 a pound, it's gonna go to $200 a pound, you know. And we're talking 6 months from now.
And that's crazy thinking about it because you know uranium is a finite resource, but it's being
It's running our Navy. Let's say put it that way.
Yeah. It's going to be running our country, in my opinion.
Well, guess what? Where do we get our uranium from? China.
China, yeah.
And the place that starts with a K.
Kazakhstan,
something like that. You know, I mean, our Navy. There's 100 nuclear power plants in the United States that work for utilities.
Yep, we're powered by one.
Well, there was a bunch of them that were scheduled to be shut down because everybody was scared of it and get tired of it. But now this Green New Deal comes along, and that's the only thing that produces no carbon footprint whatsoever.
And, you know, there's a party out there called the Green Party that was against nuclear, and they wanted to go 100% renewable, quote-unquote renewables. And I'm glad their voice was kind of silenced on the nuclear part because I think that's the biggest fault on the far left is they're ignoring the power of nuclear. Yeah, you have an issue with storage, but guess what? Here's the deal. They're actually right now going through the storage of nuclear and looking at how to reuse it. It still has potential for use.
I'm saying, you know, if Tesla wants to go to the moon, just take some spent uranium. You know?
The depleted uranium is another
just
one.
Take it up and drop it off.
Yeah. So here's the other one too, or send it to the sun. But the other one is thorium. I don't know if you ever heard of thorium. That's a big one.
It sounds like something in your neck.
No, thorium is another.
That's thyroid.
Yeah. But that's another thing. Is I know they're mining that. So that's the future.
Yeah, there's
as
a
well.
Lot of different stuff. There's a vanadium or yep. something like that. It's you know 10 times better than lithium.
Right.
Lithium batteries. Well, they're starting to make these flow batteries out of that, and it's supposedly you know way better than lithium. So there's you know there's always going to be new stuff, and I think America versus the whole world. I think we're in the best spot of anybody, you know.
For sure.
Surrounded by oceans.
For energy, too.
Friends up north, friends down south. I mean, it's not like Europe. It's not like China, you know.
Right.
I mean, they're going to take Taiwan. They have to. They have to. But they got Taiwan and Japan and everything that are not their friends, and they're blocking their ocean access, you know.
Oh, sure.
And so that's going to be a big mess. They did take Hong Kong with the virus thing. You know, they put down those protests with that. But it's I think America's sitting prettier than anybody. And we got the most diverse, most, you know, advanced, I guess you could say, society, really. China's going to... But, I mean, who wants a reserve currency that's run by communists? Are you kidding me?
The one that would just inflate their currency or deflate the currency value so it becomes valueless.
You think the whole world's going to let their currency be tagged to a communist country? This ain't going to happen, the more you think about it.
Remember how many times they would sit there and change their currency in the matter of a year?
They devalued, crazy. Yeah.
They devalued, sure. Like, multiple times.
Sure.
And it's actually kind of hurt the U.S. economy.
You know, Clinton got him in the World Trade Organization boom, it's been crazy ever since. But we still, you know, there's a lot of hope for us. I mean, there really is. I mean, as bad as it looks, there's still a lot of hope.
Right.
And I wouldn't give up on America just yet, but it ain't going to be easy.
Right, right.
So that's why I joined Robinhood, so I can learn about this stuff. And I got to say, I read a lot of books, and I tried to study. It just was boring. It's all get out.
Right.
It's terrible. Robinhood is fun. You know, it's your gambling casinos right in your living room, right in on your phone, and you don't have to bet the farm. You know, and you don't have to. You know, something goes up, sell it.
Right.
You know, okay, keep 10 shares and sell the other 90. Take your money and sit inside. You know, cash is kind of a good thing to have. You know. And when you see something you like, boom, you got the cash, boom, get it. Let it run up a little bit, you know, buy the dips, sell the highs.
Right.
It's really that simple. But you can do it at Robinhood for free. So, yeah, you want to risk $50? Hey, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
You're never going to lose it. I guarantee it. You know, I mean, it's going to be there. It might turn into $10 if you do it right. You
right.
know, but... I'm telling you, it just goes up and down and up and down, and it's not that dangerous. It really isn't. So it's a well-run outfit. It really is.
As long as you're not throwing your whole life savings in there, you know.
No, I mean, no. Just, well, that's crazy. You know, I mean, would you go to the casino and bet everything you got?
The sad thing is there are people that do, you know, that they live
sure,
their lives.
Sure.
You know, I met a few people that worked in the casino industry that, you know, either in, like, custodial or, like, even in management. They would tell me the stories, horrible stories about people wearing adult diapers so they wouldn't have to leave their spot. And the stools and chairs would have stains on it from people pooping or pissing. And
I never heard.
And then there's another
always a bathroom close by.
Right, you'd think. But the another one was when this guy stood up and shook his leg and a turd fall out. And it's like, these are true stories. You know, there's people that have severe addiction.
Well, that's being very, very addicted to.
Yeah, that's some weird thing, you know, but that. Those people need help, you know, and it's like, you know.
All they got to do is go buy a lottery ticket because on the ticket and on even the stores where you go, he says, do you have a problem with gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLING,
right.
Gamblers or Us or something like that. I mean, they're always, yeah, buy tickets, but, you know, call our helpline.
Remember the one time that we went, the one time we went and we just took like $20 with us and we went to the casino and just had fun?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I haven't been back since. You know, like, you know, yeah, exactly. I have no desire.
I don't think I have either.
I have no desire to sit in a casino, and but it was fun for that $20 or $50, yeah, whatever we took. I can't remember.
When you blow through 20 bucks, but there's been times when I've done that and I come out with 50 bucks or 60 bucks. And there's been times when I come out with a couple hundred bucks, you know.
Right.
One time out in Reno, I went in, $20 is it. And I come out of that casino, and I had $400 and some, and it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
Every time I hit something, I'd move to another machine. You know, I'd play video poker, and I'd once that thing come up with a full house or something, boom, that was it. I was done with that machine. I'd go clear as far away as I could and get on another machine. I don't know. Who knows how it all works? I don't know.
But, I think, you know, it's the same kind of thing with, you know, with stocks. You know, sometimes you have to pull out. That's the one thing that's really tough, is if you have too many shares in different stocks, you have to keep on news on all of those in a little bit.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to load up on one thing. You gotta have diversity. Yeah. No, I got.
You want
uranium.
Some more stable and some the more crazy stuff.
I noticed when the gold goes up, that silver stays, you know, close, but not. I mean, they each take their turns. Uranium, like today, you saw, and I sold all my uranium. They went up really pretty high. I said, I'm out. Boom, gone.
You should check now to see where it's at, to see if it went up higher or it went down at all.
Yeah,
I'm just out
that.
Of curious because, you know.
And I don't really care.
No.
I got maybe 5 or 10 shares, so
right,
what, you know.
Right.
It goes up another 20 cents. Okay, I lost $2.
But that's it's interesting to see where it maybe went because, you know, you never know.
It is interesting, and that's what keeps you hooked on this stuff, you know. See, I'm up $90 today. $90. I made 3% on my money. Where's the uranium? Yeah, they're right about where I sold.
So there you go.
Yeah,
it's flatlined.
So
I see it.
They've kind of stayed right where I sold it.
And it's probably going
to
drop.
See, now this one, D-Roy, it went up to $5. Now, that was from 480, and I got 361 shares. So, I mean, that's a good day's work. Now, that goes up another 5 cents, and I'm out of that one, too.
Right.
But I'll keep 5 shares, sit back and watch it go down. And when it goes down, I'll jump back in.
Right, you got to buy on the low, yeah.
Yeah, that's all. It's that simple. I mean, it really is. Now, this AG, First Majestic Silver, that went up to $18.10, and I sold. And I had 200 shares. I sold all but 2 shares. Okay, I took the money. Now it's down to, it was down to about $17.50. So that's, I don't know, 60 cents.
Right.
70 cent drop. So I'm just waiting for it to hit the $16 range, and I'm going to jump back in and get it again because it's going to go back up again.
Right.
You know, I mean, especially silver. I mean, it's just so hard to get, you know.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk and all these solar people. I mean,
you're going to have more EV cars. You have Ford. You have all the other ones out there. They're competing at Chevy. All these cars are going into the electronics, and they can't even keep up chip manufacturing.
Yeah.
So that's another level.
Yeah.
Gold and silver, gold's heavily used in computers more than silver.
Right.
But you're going to see a massive increase in gold and silver use. So that's a good currency there to be dropping on.
See, a couple of days ago, I just broke 3,000. Now I'm going to break 3,200.
Right.
And I'm not doing anything.
Right, he's just filling his fingers.
It's not costing me a nickel, you know.
You know, you think about this.
Fun, it's actually fun.
Go back to your ancestors, and what if you just told them how much money you just made in a day?
Yeah.
And them trying to wrap their head around you just filling your fingers on this device.
Yeah.
You know, and you made this.
It's, I don't know. Well, when I tell people what I'm doing, that's the part they'd say, "Oh no, well, that's not good. That's not good." What?
Well, there's
zero. I'm not paying anything for this, you know?
It goes back to what we've talked about in other episodes. I know what my father's and my mother's parents would have said, even just talking about the stock markets.
Yeah.
They went through the Great Depression, so they knew they lost a lot of money in the banks.
Well, they know not to trust banks.
They don't trust banks.
Well, that hasn't changed.
No, I agree. But it's like, you know, they say they have this backing in the bank, but really, where does that come from? You know, you're dealing with some fire. Do you want to play some songs, then we can come back?
Yeah, let's play something and let folks digest a little bit of that my Robin Hood, take from the rich and give to the poor. Right. Well, that's what I'm doing. Right. I'm poor, so I'm giving to myself.
and you're giving wealth to other people. It's knowledge of wealth.
Well,
knowledge.
You know, it's not a big deal. It really isn't, right. And it's so. It's technology, you know, yeah, and they've made it so it doesn't cost anything. You can learn a lot, and you don't have to buy thousands of dollars worth of anything. $50 and you could have a ball,
right?
And you might even turn it into $1,000. Who knows? You know,
right.
You get it right, it's not hard to do. So on that happy note, let's play a song.
Okay.
Pretend that I don't love you. You could never pretend that I'm your man. That's exactly the way that I want it. It's exactly the way that I am. And you call me in the morning with your troubles, taking it downtown every night. I could never place the stars at night above. Got my hands on the ground and you know I'm right. You wait so long. You wait so long.
Talking about
Robin Hood,
Robin Hood,
and like how do you how do you put money on there and how do you take it out?
Well, it's all done, you know, what do you call it, direct deposit or something. I gave them my bank account information, so
like your routing number and checking number, right?
yeah, and they so when I deposit some, or if I wanted to buy a stock and I didn't have any money, they say, well, you got to deposit X amount of dollars. I say, okay, and they immediately give you...
Withdraw it,
Well, they withdraw it. It takes a day or so, but you're immediately allowed to spend that amount of money because they have started that deposit set up, you know. So they give you like $1,000.
Right.
Headway or leeway or whatever. So, you know, and... being I'm on Social Security, I never have that much money in there anyway. So
right.
Everybody's worried, oh, aren't you worried you're going to steal all your money? You know? No, they're just as solid as you do that all the time, I'm sure.
And they're actually very, any of these companies, because Robinhood's one of many, any of these companies are actually federally regulated, so they can't like just steal money.
Well, I mean, how many people play on Amazon?
Right.
Same thing. Jeff Bezos got the same thing. He's got all your information, so
right.
What's the difference? I mean,
and your utility companies. And,
yeah, you pay a lot of stuff online, and you know it's
the same kind of thing. You
and
know?
If you're on Social Security, you ain't got that much to steal anyway. So
no.
But and it works the same way the other way around. Like
right.
You know, I've taken thousands out of Robinhood. I had a GE for a couple of years. It never went anywhere. It went sideways for 2 years. Finally, I sold it, and they just deposited the money back into my account. It takes 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, you tell them you want it one day, and probably the next day it's in your bank account. So
right.
It's pretty liquid. I mean, it just...
The other thing, too, is like, you know, if you don't deposit in your account, it's sitting on the app, and you can use it in other stocks, too.
Yeah, right. And you sit it there. That's your ammunition for if you see something happen that really looks good. You got some cash to play with, you know. If you just invest every penny you got into stocks, and then you see something that you really want to do, well, you got one option. You got to put more money in. Well, why do that? You know, but what I'll do is I'll sell one stock, you know, 50%, 75% of some stock that's really pretty high, and I'll use that money to go, you know, invest in something else that's low.
Right.
And I don't know, it's fun. It's really fun, especially when you're winning.
Right.
You know, I mean, you just can't let it, you can't be impatient, let's put it that way. Because if a stock, let's say you're really loaded up on a stock, and it starts dropping and dropping and dropping, and then you start sweating. Well, don't sweat it, you know, just be patient. Right. It'll come back, right. You know, maybe a week, maybe it'll take a week, maybe sometimes 2 weeks.
Right.
So what? You don't lose anything unless you sell. And you don't win anything unless you sell too. So don't get too excited when your stock goes up.
Right.
Because... You know, it could go down real easy, and you're not a winner unless you sell.
Right.
So that's a real important thing to remember and to listen to think about, you know, and just don't be impatient, you know. There's people like Jim Rogers and, oh, there's a bunch of people I see on YouTube all the time, and I listen to them, and they know what they're talking about because they've made billions, you know, and Warren Buffett, I mean, same thing.
You ever look at that guy's website, Warren Buffett's website? It's like so from the 90s. They've never changed it. They've never had to. It's like just plain, you know, very basic website.
I saw an interview of him and his right-hand man, and he finally admitted, he said, oh, this inflation's getting ugly.
Right.
He said it really is happening, you know, because the Federal Reserve keeps saying it's just temporary, you know. It's,
right.
It's, what do you call it, something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I seen him on there, he said, yeah, this is getting serious. And I also saw he had a can of Coke sitting on his table there where he was talking.
Right.
Yeah, because he owns 51% of Coca-Cola.
Of course, you know, those guys, this is the website here, it's the Berkshire Hathaway, hathaway.com. If you go to this website, it's so basic.
He's not into being fancy, that's for sure.
They haven't changed this in like 25 or 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they change it, they update it. I mean, but they also have their own Geico, too.
People ask me why I drink so much Coca-Cola. I said, well, geez, Warren Buffett drinks 8 cans a day. Admittedly, you know,
right.
he flat out admits it. He said it's the best stuff he ever had. That's why he bought the company.
Only if they switch back to the sugar version. That's the kind I like. You know, yeah. They call it Mexican Cola. If you ever get the chance to go buy it.
I see it in glass bottles.
Yeah, those are good. That's how it originally was
back
in the
50s.
That's
what hooked me back in my paper route days, yeah.
Yeah. That stuff's some good stuff, you know, right there. I omit it with the sugar.
Shoot.
But, the stock stuff, you know, as long as you are, you know, wise about it and not, like, putting all your life savings
into
it.
Well, that's the thing. You got to play with stuff that you, you know, pretend you're going to a casino, you know, and if you're going to take 50 bucks and say, okay, when I lose that, I'm done.
Right.
Well, same thing. But in the stock market, you're not going to lose it.
And the other one is,
I don't know of any companies that went completely bust, out of business, flat out gone. I don't know of any.
Not too many. The other one is you know, that I think I've seen a failure, and when people are in stocks, is they love a company so much, their ideology gets stuck in a way. They get stuck. They love this company so much, and can't find fault in it, and they put their stock in it and just hold for too long. When you have
when something goes sideways for years, like GE did, because GE was at $32. And I seen it drop clear down to $12. Yep. I said, holy smokes, this is a big company, big company. I'm getting in because they're going to go back up. Well, they didn't. No. They went sideways for 2 years. And I'd say, you know, I never liked GE stuff anyways. Why am I sitting here doing nothing? You
right.
know? That was crazy. So I sold it, you know. And I probably come real close to breaking even one way or the other, but it was no big deal. You know, it's just, I don't know, these, you look at the market, market caps, they call it, and it just tells you how many shares are out there and for how much, and they times the number of shares by the price, and it gives you the, you know, and when they're in the billions of dollars, I mean, where are they going to go?
Right.
You know, you're not going to lose.
Right.
You know, it might go down, and you might have to sit there for 6 months waiting for it to get back up to even, which is crazy. But, you know, if you buy it at the bank, you're going to get 1% if you're lucky. And you got to sit there for 5 years.
Right, right.
I mean, same way with bonds. Let me tell everybody, anybody listening, do not buy bonds.
No, no.
I mean, a 10-year is up to 1.23%, and the 10-year is up to maybe 2.3%. I mean, the rate of inflation's at 10%, so you're losing 8% or more.
Right.
Just holding that bond. I mean, it's nutty.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is like, we tend to forget those kind of things, I think. And that's the other problem is, you know, I will admit, GE, it's a very large company in this area, or used to be.
Oh, giant.
I mean, they had how many people employed there? Probably
most
20,
of it's 000. In China right now. But,
yeah, Mexico, and Mexico, also Texas.
Texas is making their locomotives.
So yeah. A good example is you know, all the whole locomotive group went to Texas. And
Pittsburgh and Texas, yeah.
And it's like, you know, no union there. So
MRI or whatever that right. CAT scan business, that all went to China. They just packed up everything in Wisconsin and went to China.
Yeah.
That's when I got out. I said, that's enough. I'm tired of that.
It's the same thing when you see a company sell off a portion of its company. That's concerning to me. That's usually a time that's when you need to get out. Get out of the stock ASAP because that's when the stock's going to go down.
Well, one of the things about stocks is that I do a little research and to see who's running the show. And what you want to see, and this isn't the way in every company, but what you want to see is that the owners have some skin in the game.
Yeah.
In other words, they own their own stock or their,
right.
you know, their workers own a lot of their stock. That's important because if they don't trust their own stock, if they don't invest, you know, if they don't have any skin in the game, then you really shouldn't be either.
No, yeah, that's a warning sign. Yeah,
that's to me, that's an important thing to look at. You know,
right.
And this idea that they're going to get robbed or ripped off or you know that's just totally crazy. You get ripped off if you go to Ameritrade and they charge you $5 every time you buy something.
Right.
You know, that's a rip.
That's one of the things I was trying to remember is there's different other ones out there and there's ones like Robinhood that don't charge you anything. I just can't remember their names right now. With the whole fiasco with GameStop, it made people question Robinhood how they were performing.
Well, that's because they had their parent company owned or was short
right.
GameStop, so their parent company was getting hit for billions of dollars of margin calls, and they got caught with their pants down, you know. And so that Robinhood said, okay, you can't sell you can't sell, or what was it, you can't buy or something. It was one or the other. I think
you can't sell. Yeah.
And they were limiting maybe one share or
something. No, actually it was you can't buy. They weren't letting people buy.
Yeah, there was GameStop. Something which, fake there about
so it. A lot of people switched to another one. I can't remember what it was, but it basically did the same thing as Robinhood. So there's options out there. But at the end of the day, you got to go with what you feel is the best one out there, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Well, I'm saying no matter what you do, you got to know, you got to study, you got to learn about what the heck it is you're doing. So if you're buying stocks and you have no idea about the company that you're buying, you know, I mean...
That's not good.
CBay, that's a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah.
And Robinhood gave me some free stocks, and it was in CBay. Well, it's doing pretty good, and I looked at it, and I've never heard of it. You know, I have no idea what it is, but I got two shares of CBay. Well, I'm just going to sit and look at it. I ain't going to do nothing.
Right.
I ain't going to invest in it, but I'll probably let it go up a bit and then sell it and go buy something else.
Right.
But these uranium companies, I mean, this Uranium Energy Corp, UEC, I mean, they're the only mining company in America.
Right.
And they're all set up and ready to go. They do have other mines outside the country, but as soon as Biden and AOC and all them say, yeah, we better fire up some nuclear plants or the military, they got to have
uranium. Well, I think that's a given for the military and a lot of applications, but the nuclear plants, they're planning on building new plants.
They've got some...
I think they call them fifth gen.
They're smaller plants.
Yeah.
In other words, mini plants of some sort. But still, it's no carbon footprint at all.
And the newer designs are even more fail-safe. There's more fail-safe involved.
Sure,
and it's crazy how much involved in... I mean, we haven't had a nuclear plant built in this country in a long time, so we have more archaic...
Well, they had they scheduled a bunch of them to be shut down and just, you know, taken down. But now that's all reversed. They've changed all that, so they're gonna open them up again.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, we are powered by a nuclear plant in Northeast Ohio, and most people in this area do not know that. They assume that we're under some natural gas or something, and it's not the case at all. And
everybody thinks that Niagara Falls is making all our power.
Yeah, but it's crazy. You know, if you really think about it, our power doesn't go out too often. That's because nuclear is pretty stable, you know?
Well, if their power goes out, it's because there's some nasty weather, some trees fell down or something. And it only affects a small part.
I think I remember one time where the substation was glowing. I don't know if you remember that. There was a substation out there on West High Street. The substation was glowing blue at night.
Huh.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. Then the power went out.
It was a big bang.
So I was like, oh, crud.
Well, that's high voltage there. Yeah. You're talking blue. That's high voltage.
Yeah, so that was a kind of crazy night. I kind of wish I was closer. But, you know, it's the same thing with Penelec. You know, I remember with Penelec, they have stock, right?
Oh, sure.
And the
news... Utilities are just loaded with cash. These guys are full of cash.
Sure. Everyone needs it. But here's the thing that got me is when Penelec got caught with that deal in Ohio going on, when they were trying to make money from
that power deal.
And so a bunch of congressmen in Ohio got caught with it, and Penelec got caught. Yeah. And that's like right when the first words came on news about this happening. I was watching their stock just drop. People were selling left and right. They were like getting out of this. Like, we have to leave this.
Something bad could be coming here. Yeah.
You don't have federal agents on stage talking about things.
I'd say 70% of America has no clue what the stock market does or is.
No.
Or how to read it. There's a crash coming. Everything, when you look at Tesla and Netflix, they've never made any money.
No profits. They're making money on the credits that they're giving by the government. We have to make that clear. That's how they're making their money.
Well, you wonder why Tesla bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. Well, he just added it to his balance sheet to help make that quarter look decent. But Netflix, they did have some cash last year, but the reason for that was COVID-19.
Right.
They weren't making any movies.
Yeah.
So they weren't blowing money on making movies. So
no. But the reality is, though, is that that all comes to a pin, but there's a lot of investors, and that's what stocks do, is it allows people to invest in the stocks, and that can be as a fallback for the companies to use that money.
You got to understand that the stocks, the price of the stock or the amount of stocks that they've sold is not compared to, is not a true value of the company itself. A company has to make a profit.
Yes.
It has to make a profit. If it doesn't, then it's going to go down. It's going to go out. And there's a lot of companies right now on the stock market that if you add up the stock that they've sold, is like 10 times higher than what the company's worth.
Right.
You know what I mean? All the money is in the stock owner, the stockholders of it. They've bought and sold, and they've run the price up. You know, like I said, it's supply and demand. You want to buy something, well, somebody has to want to sell it. If there's no right. sellers, that price starts to go up, and that's how the stocks go up. And there's so many companies that are overvalued. In other words, the stock is way higher than what the company is worth.
The one I can think of right now is, and some people would probably disagree with me, is Apple. I think they're way over valued in their stock. They don't sell that much, you know, and at the end of the day, they really don't sell as much as, like, let's say other companies
do. They haven't been doing real good lately, but they do sell a lot of product, so.
Not as compared to, like, they're only 15% of the market, and that's why when you see that their value's at, I think it was $150 billion, they were valued at, I can't believe that. There's no way when they only have 15% of the market.
See, the reason I don't look at like Apple,
right,
is because their phones are made in China.
Yeah,
everything's China is the biggest polluter
in the world.
You could take
yes.
Europe, United States, Brazil,
China's
Vietnam,
number one. And they have no
you
regulation.
You add them all
on
together,
it.
And China produces more CO2 than all of those other
and
places
trash.
Put together.
They're dumping trash in the ocean left and right, and nobody's questioning it. You know,
they're hoping it'll float to Taiwan, and
make a land bridge.
Plug up all the.
Now you're connected to China.
Yeah, boom. It's like Apple. It's made in China. You know, they use a lot of silver.
That's made by Foxconn. They have Foxconn as their chip manufacturer, and Foxconn is the one company that has suicide nets. on their factories so people don't die from jumping out of the building because the factory conditions are so horrible. Yeah. And it's like, you know, this is one of the reasons why I promote the idea. I don't support authoritarian regimes that are, you know, we have to remember the Uyghur people that are in China that right now 3 million people are in concentration camps.
Yeah.
And guess what? Many of them are probably making your iPhone. You know, and that's something we have to remember. You know, it's a modern-day concentration
camp.
Well,
all of this is going to come out in the wash. And
sure.
I'm saying that America is situated geographically and technologically. I mean, a lot of the technology that China has, they got from us.
They stole it, yes.
Yeah, they stole it. And so, tech-wise and geographically, America's got everything in its corner. I mean, we really do. And when all this shakes down and things get really bad, we're going to be the best house in the neighborhood.
So I have to speak on something about the part about stealing ideas. They don't view it as a bad thing to steal ideas from other people. And, you know, in some ways, at the end of the day, everyone does it. Apple's done it. They stole ideas. Microsoft stole ideas. Microsoft and Apple both tried stealing from Xerox, basically, for the graphic interfaces they have. So we have to go back to even that. But with China, what they'll do is all the companies there, the government has a 51% of the stake in it. So their government owns all the companies, essentially. They have a majority stake. But the key part is when you take a product of yours that you designed and developed and put your brain into as an individual, and you go send it to China to be manufactured, they are going to steal that idea and sell it cheaper. And then
Alibaba.
And Alibaba. and then here's the best part. You ready for this? Your Amazon listing will get negative reviews from their spam, from their army of trolls in China. And they'll sit there and just slam your listing on Amazon with negative reviews. and then give positive reviews to their version of your product. So you're going to lose your product and also get negative reviews.
It's hard to tell what's right and wrong and who's telling the truth and who isn't.
That's something to remember. Is actually this recently, and if you don't believe me this, you can go Google this, is recently there was a listing, of a data listing that was uncovered of a bunch of fake Chinese reviews. And that's what they do. They have people sitting in these buildings with multiple cell phones in front of them, and they're clicking the cell phones, going through and marking things positive or negative reviews. And they have a list of products they have to go through. And so the reason I mentioned this is why this ties into the stock thing. There's Chinese stocks. And I would say never – it's not against the Chinese people. Chinese people are nice people. But it's the government. It's the problem in that country.
Oh, sure.
And so with that said – the Chinese companies that are ran by the government, stay away from them. That's what I would say for their stocks, because it's not
well. Southeast Asia is a good place to be looking stock wise because they are up and coming.
Oh, definitely.
Their
currency, a lot of factories are going
stronger.
There. Yeah,
yeah. It's
and Asia, in India too.
I mean, Vietnam is making some of the best solar panels ever.
India is another company that's up and coming. Yeah. COVID's hitting them very hard right now, but. They have it's very hard over there, but the plan is Vietnam and India are looking at becoming powerhouses in the next 10 years.
Yeah,
it's going to earth up China.
Yeah, there's a big shakedown coming, and I think the stock market is going to get a real shellacking, you know, I guess everybody's saying yeah that's coming, but we're gonna keep fooling around and keep investing. And
right.
When we see it starting to happen, we're going to jump out.
Right.
Well, guess what? They might be a little late.
They might be a little late on that, yeah.
It's very easy and possible to do because nowadays, because things happen so fast. So, hey, on that happy note, I don't know. Like I say, America is the best house in the neighborhood, really. In a bad neighborhood, America's... still got a lot going for
it. We still have some problems, but you know what?
Crazy politics going on, you know.
You can sit there and compare it to an idealized world of what something should be. But at the end of the day, when you come to the reality of where we are and what we have, it's actually quite good in compared to history.
Well, we got a shot. I mean, the socialists are trying to take over and, just give everybody money to stay home they're trying to run everything, you know, and that just never works. But we still got a shot. I mean, you know, unless China keeps running the voting machines, we still have a shot.
I think the other problem is, you know, this is not, again, anti-China hate or any Asian hate. It's the Chinese government. We have to make it clear, the CCP.
Yeah.
But the opium and fentanyl epidemic is from the Chinese government. They're pulling the opium wars from what the British did to them. And they're doing it on the United States and England and Europe right now. There's a massive pandemic of opium and narcotics coming into the United States from China. And I think this is where, you know, when we look at those companies, I would say that that's soon going to come to an end. So I would stay away from pharmaceuticals out of China right now for stocks.
They make 85% of all the prescription drugs we sell.
It used to be U.S. and Germany. It used to be U.S. and Germany being the leaders of that, you know. And I think it's starting to more and more of it's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Hopefully. Hey, anyways, don't be afraid of the stock market, folks. I mean, I'm telling you, it's... And Robinhood makes it so simple and easy, and it's actually fun. And, you know, you got 50 or 100 bucks to play with, you know, go learn something.
Right.
You will learn. Trust me, you will learn. And I guarantee you won't lose it all.
Right.
You won't. So let's play a song and say goodbye. We probably talked too long anyways.
That happens.
It's nice outside. Let's go enjoy the weather.
Yeah.
And, see y'all later. See y'all next week, everybody. And
stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe. Don't.
Don't drink and drive.
Don't run around Walmart without your mask on.
I mean, Bill's interpreting meaning that don't run around Walmart naked. They kicked him out last week.
Jeez. Wow. You might encourage someone else to do it.
Ooh. Have a good one.
I told one lady, I says, "Hey, put your mask back on, please." She about clobbered me. Okay. Till then, till next week.
Everything that I have ever owed. Guns don't fire, will that be the end? With no land left to burn, nowhere left to run. When can we stand when it's all said and done?
Yourself first, your soul or your gun.